at page 13. And God foreknew they would. He foreknew all things. Therefore, he has his certain prophet ready for that age to call his election by his vindicated word of signs and wonders and confirmation of his word, confirming the word with signs following. As he promised, he gives the true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. Now, in there, if you listen, you caught a discrepancy. Now, Sunday morning, there's not a bad one, so don't worry about it. I'll tell you how it works out. Sunday morning, you'll notice I brought to your attention that when it comes to a prophetic message, as Brother Branham said, there is no such thing as a true healing revival unless a message follows it, and that message cannot be the old message, even patched up. It must be a new message, or it is not a genuine healing revival. Now, we brought to your attention that most people are greatly ignorant of, or they have in their minds a misconception concerning Hebrews 13 and 8, and they sort of look at Mark 16 and Hebrews, the second chapter, and you know, of course, Mark 16, these signs will follow them to believe. And in Hebrews 2, God bearing them witness, the preaching of the gospel, with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not the way a prophet operates in bringing the word. The signs and wonders do not follow his message. They precede the message because he has to be vindicated. See, now let me show you where the discrepancy lies here. It's not that Brother Branham misquotes the word. He's quoting the word proof, with confirming the word with signs following. But what word is followed by the signs? Not the message, but the thus saith the Lord. Now you notice he says, now watch. He gives the interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. So number one, there's a vindication of the prophet. And that's not signs following the word. That's the signs following the prophet, which is a very tremendous sign, which we'll go into as we go along in Numbers 12 and in Deuteronomy chapter 18. But you have to understand that the prophet himself is vindicated in order for him to speak. Then that word will bring forth. See, now you get the picture. That's why it says Jesus began both to do and to teach. And all my life I've been taught the what amounts to a platitude or some little pastoral almost nothingness, wherein it is said that Jesus began to do and to teach shows that if before you ever begin to witness to anybody, and it's very good to believe this, but don't believe it, you know, that's that. You know, before you witness to anybody, you must have a good life, a proper conduct, so that your life is preaching a message. Then when you preach a message, you're accepted because they know you are spiritually oriented with the fruit of Almighty God. Now, that's very nice, but that's not true. See, it's not true at all. What it is he began to do, and they began to gain their attention, to gain their favor. And they looked at him and said, what is with this fellow anyway? And Nicodemus came and said, by night, he said, we know that you're a prophet sent from God because no man can do the things you do except God be with him. See? Now, he was first of all vindicated. Then, but he began to give the message, they fell away from him like the pestilence. See? He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and the 70 walked off. That left 12. The crowds dissipated. Finally, he said to the to the disciples, he said, well, will you leave me too? They said, no way. Brother Brand says, sink or swim, live or die. We know that you have something that nobody else had. We're convinced when it comes to the word, you've got it. What convinced them? The miracles, the signs and the wonders. See, they saw the evidence of the Messiah, the messianic sign, as Brother Branham brought out so many, many times. So understand carefully what we're saying then tonight in elaborating upon the little statement I made on Sunday, that there are signs that precede a message. And this hour is a true healing revival. I saw him stand there, as I've told you many times, in Canada. And he said, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. 24, 25, I think maybe 24. All right, bring me 24 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing for every one. Or would you sooner go through the prayer line where 40, where 60% get healed? I think he said 60%. There wasn't one miss. There wasn't one time that wasn't a miracle out of hundreds and hundreds. He went over everybody's heads. Didn't go over my head. And I'm not boasting, telling you God's truth that it didn't go over my head. Because I was anxious to see the man perform the miracles. How that would have swept across the world. Guaranteed miracles. But those people sat there and didn't have enough on the ball spiritually to call for the miracles. 24 guaranteed miracles. So they blew it. That's good old Canada for you. Pete, I'm glad I'm down here as an American citizen. Get yours just as quick as you can get yours. 5 years up, did like that, get her. Good boy. That's the truth. See? Now what happened? People begin preaching to men, not Brother Branham's word, but they wouldn't listen and wait for Brother Branham to give them the message. Is that good brother? He said a voice spoke to him and said, that's Bible. You can do the same thing. The voice that spoke to me, which wasn't a voice, an inner compulsion, that's all it was, said, if you listen to any man, listen to that man. I said to one day to Brother Branham, and I wouldn't take my words back unless God made me take them back. I said, Brother Branham, I wouldn't walk across the street to see you raise the dead, except to know what kind of a man you are. And I didn't even know who he was at that time, what it was all about. But I knew one thing, it wasn't satisfying my soul to see people raise the dead, because go on, raise the dead all you want, you can still go to hell. I didn't know at that time that Judas, the unbeliever, the make-believer, was healing the sick and raising the dead by the power of God. Didn't understand those things. But I was saying the right things all along the line. Why? Just because God was good to me, that's all. Wasn't anything I had on the ball. You better believe that. I'm about as just low down as they come, but God's as high up as they come, and He reaches down for the low down as they come and gets them together. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So it worked out very good. So I want you to understand this. Now, what I'm going to do with this understanding is go to another message called The Voice of the Sign in Beaumont. Now, I will admit that me reading it to you, when I read it to you, it is not as compelling as when you hear it yourself. But in there you will notice that Brother Branham constantly presents the prophet with vindication so that you are obligated to listen and learn and believe or you're under condemnation. Now, that's what we're looking at tonight. And it's very, very important. You'll find that it just does something to you. That's all. Now, he said, to the newcomers, this week we have tried to show that God from the beginning knew the end. That makes him infinite. If he isn't infinite, he isn't God. And he's got to be omnipotent, omnipresent, and he changed it, omniscient and omnipotent to be God. In other words, he's saying omnipresence is coming by omniscience and omnipotence. Good old Presbyterian doctrine. To be God. All power, knows all things, in all places, and knows the end from the beginning. If he doesn't, then he isn't God. Now, for a long time, I've always taken the attitude I take with Dr. Pink that not only did God foreknow, but he predestinated, showing that in his predestinating office, or the predestinating plan, he used his own power and his ability to make the end sure. Now, we know that God makes things sure. The scripture tells us that. There's no two ways about it. But on the other hand, I got thinking the other day, what if God didn't intervene, but he simply knew? That'd make him all the more wonderful. Well, I'm not saying I've changed my mind. I'm just looking at it. How infinite is God? There's no way to know. I still think the most beautiful definition Brother Branham gave, which no theologian will accept, is God knew how many fleas there'd be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, how many take to make a pound of tallow. You figure that out. But you know, if you begin looking at it where God made every snowflake different from every other snowflake, and there's trillions of tons over 6,000 years or 6 billion years it is, then if he didn't know every tree, how many times he bat his eyeballs, God missed the boat somewhere. You see, it comes down to something so simple and so natural, Brother Branham said, it's just so commonplace, you walk over, but let your mind go for a while. And you'll see how tremendous it is. Then you begin to see how the prophet can tap in on this in a limited way, only knowing what God wants him to know. See? But, my, there's the power of God there. So there isn't anything really out of cater, it's us. But nothing in God's Word is ticking just like a clock. Better than a clock. And when that hour comes for it to happen, the words allotted for that age happen. We might think it isn't going to happen. Sometimes it happens and we don't know it. Now see? Jesus said one time, they said to him, why is it all the scribes say Elijah's got to come first? See, now they believe that. They believe that Elias was coming. Jesus looked at him and said, Elias has already come and you didn't know it. Now see, it passed right by those scribes, ministers, disciples. It was John the Baptist. And he came in every way that Elijah was supposed to come, yet they didn't recognize him. Now, I'll tell you something. Because your mind is wondering at this point, just like mine would wonder. What are they supposed to know? Very little. Very little. Now, that's pretty tricky. You find all the scripture about John the Baptist. I don't know that it takes more than one hand to actually find the places where it's really mentioned. Brother Branham used Isaiah and Malachi, and no doubt that there's a couple of more, but you got to go to the Old Testament. Then an angel came on the scene and talked to the father Zacharias, and he explained it. And you notice a supernatural phenomenon. And remember, John's mother was literally past the age of childbearing. Does understand the word. Brother Branham even said the baby was dead within the womb. It wasn't getting anywhere. I can accept that. Prophet speaking it. I wouldn't from anybody else, but I can accept it from a prophet saying it. Amen. So how much was there that they were to recognize? Well, very precious little. But when Jesus came on the scene, he vindicated John that John was right. Now, what if he is here, Jesus, in the form of the Holy Spirit, which the prophet said he was, and that's a picture of it. And that's a picture of it.
Yeah.
Now, you got to accept that, or you might, I'm going to tell you. You're a turkey amongst the geese, if you don't see that.
Amen.
Chicken amongst the little fledgling eaglets. Because we stand on that. We stand on the presence. You say, well, I think the presence left. Be my guest. Your presence could have gone. I don't know. I believe he's still here because he's going to lead the millennium. But you can believe what you want. But you see, that one that vindicated John is the same one that vindicates this John.
Yeah.
See? Before he ever said anything about a message, always looking forward to a message. See? Ending up that his message wasn't any different from Luther's or Wesley or Pentecost, but it refined it, took out the error and brought in that which was left out. He got the bullet back on course. The word back on course. And they were supposed to recognize him. They knew he was going to come, but they didn't. And now it behooves us to recognize the hour that we're living. And that hour is very simply stated, Elijah must truly come and restore all things. Now how many scriptures are there concerning that one? Very, very little. We've got a beauty in Acts, the 3rd chapter. That lays it right out.
Amen.
Let you know the restoration's got to precede the literal physical coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heavens must retain him. There's to be a super... That's all. I'll read it for you. Acts, the 3rd chapter. You know, I never finish anything I started 7 months down the road, so be my guest. When the cake runs out, we stop. It's just simple as ABC. The 3rd of Acts, the 19th verse, the middle part of it. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even God shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, or proclaimed in advance, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. There's going to be a catching up from Genesis. That's what Moses did before the Exodus. There was a catching up. That's how the book Genesis could be written by Moses. And in the Exodus. Because remember, from the Exodus of Egypt, the actual Exodus of Egypt, there was a period of time before they entered in. A lot of us get all kinds of little sensations and funny ideas because we don't realize we've come out, but we haven't gone in yet. There's a period of time in there. And that's the time of restoration where you're catching up. You're coming to the place of the fruit of God, the maturity, perfection. See? And so on right here. Notice then that that between the time of that presence, the mighty revival, and the literal coming of Jesus Christ, there is something going on. Now, people can guess, and they will guess. That's what the Pharisees did, and their guessing placed them in jeopardy and destroyed them. They never listened to the vindicated prophet, which was Jesus himself. Now, this prophet William Branham has a vindication. And it's a juncture period. And a period where God speaks face to face with the prophet. Now, people don't want to believe the prophet William Branham. Even though absolutely he's vindicated according to Scripture that he has the authority to say who he is. And remember, the integrity of God, and we'll bring it up later on here, it's in this sermon. The integrity of God is at stake. For the prophet says, thus saith the Lord, and God backs him up.
Amen.
Amen.
What kind of a God would back up a liar? A liar God. Uh-huh. Let me read you something here. We're getting to it. In this one on the voice of the sign. We'll take a little while to get there, but we'll get there. Show you the very same thing I'm saying. God's integrity disallows him from ever allowing anything but the word to come out exactly as he wanted it to come out. But people don't want it. They turn it down. And now it behooves us to recognize the hour we're living in. Upon that, I want to speak tonight of the voice of the sign, a strange text. Yet God does strange things in unusual ways. That's what makes him God, because he's supernatural. And everything that he does supernaturally. Now, that, look at, now, you don't think the theologians are going to take that. They're not going to do it. They say, oh, come on, we can figure this thing out. It means that this man had the ability to go to a supernatural God in a supernatural way to get a supernatural revelation.
Yeah.
And people don't want that. And I'm not aggrandizing William Branham, I'm aggrandizing God.
Amen.
Because this is God's way of doing it. Now, the voice of the sign, there is a voice to the sign. There's a voice to blood. Blood spake out from the earth and so forth. The righteous blood of Abel spoke out against Cain. And the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh greater things than the blood of Abel did. Sure does. When did it lose its authority? Never did. People are still getting saved and healed. Now tonight, our scene opens in Exodus. And the time of the Exodus is the calling out time. The Exodus was at hand. Moses, the servant of the Lord, had been called to a line of duty. He was highly educated in Egypt, learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Seemingly, he had a way that, in being a great military genius, he was able to deliver his people from under that bondage because he was the next coming Pharaoh. Now, in here, he's going to start to give you pictures to show you that the talent of man doesn't work. No matter how much a man prepares for a job, except God has got that vessel that can take the preparation, that job won't be done. It's your natural talent won't do it. How easy it would have been for him to have done it. But you see, if that would have been the case, then it would have been a natural thing. God doesn't take natural things. He takes supernatural things to prove himself. But he uses man just the same, see. Don't worry about that. So out of 40 years of education, of the highest that he could get and the best he could get, the best scholar he could be, with the understanding from his mother, his tutor, that he was to be the one to deliver the people, and he went out in the power of his understanding and slew an Egyptian. That's what Paul did, too. He's out there killing people, too. The Roman Catholic Church kills people. Ever since old Augustine of Hippo said that since God struck Paul down and he's raging, he said the church, it's in order to save him, the church can strike people down and they're raging against them to save them. The church can't save nothing. It'll save you as a mighty good candidate for hell. Save you right where you are. If you want to be stuck in the mothballs and the formaldehyde of the churches, that's fine. You get well preserved for the lake of fire.
Amen.
And from that, we find out his efforts failed. And then he ran to the desert. And what Egypt and education put in 40 years, it took God another 40 years to get out of him. What did Paul say? All that I learned, which was so great, I called but dung. Now, poor old Moses took 40 years because he had more time. Paul didn't have the time, so God just whopped him down, took him to the desert, knocked all the intellectual ideas out of his head with one fell swoop, and that was it. And Paul, from that time on, learned. The baptism of the Holy Ghost does the same thing. If anybody truly baptized the Holy Ghost, if he wants to be used of God or wants to have something from God, you can't let the old mind. You got it. This is the hour of repentance, a change of mind. It took God 40 years to get out of his seat, so he wouldn't trust in his ethics of education. He would trust in the supernatural. I'm going to tell you something. People say, well, hey, I wish I had that. That'd be great. Ha! What about God manifest in flesh? How great was he? He came down there and broke the loaves and fishes, raised the dead, and everything else, stilled the storm and showed who he was, and they just hated him for it. You think you get something from God that'll make you popular and get the job done? Why, listen, you... Oh, come on. You couldn't be around here this long and not be that ridiculous.
Amen.
Man alive. Doesn't work that way. Or it'll get the job done. But you won't get any job done. It'll get the job done. You have a job. You have a job that those things begin to work in your life. You find they're not as wonderful as you thought they were. You know, people have great rosy dreams and all. Just give me this, give me that, and I'll make it fine. A flowery beds of ease. Hogwash. The more you get, the more you're accountable. Most people think, well, the more I get, I won't be accountable. The more you get, the more you are accountable. And everyone has very strange strings attached to it. That's why the false anointed have it so good, but the true anointed, they don't have it very good. They do have it real good, but they have it a little tough. That's how it is. Now, the time was at hand that God had made a promise to Abraham over 400 years ago. Now, I said before that time that God spoke to Moses, a promise was made 400 years before that, that Abraham's seed would sojourn in a strange land, and then he'd be brought out. After 40 years, they'd be brought up with, he meant 400 years with a mighty hand. Actually, it was 40 years because Moses was 40 years in the desert, but so don't get confused about 40 years and 400. The promise was made 400 years before, and God did not move upon Israel until 40 years after Moses had left Egypt and get all the stuffings knocked out of him to go back and bring them out. And when the time of promise drew nigh, that's when God put Moses on the scene. Now, you notice in here that people should know by this that if this is the time of the Exodus, this is rapture time, indicated by the Sodom conditions and so on, then there has to be a man there. Now, you tell that to people, they'll laugh at you. Say, I need hallelujah, I got God, bless God. I
right, amen.
You know, there's nothing sours my poor little stomach more than that. I have a very, very tender stomach, you think? You know, I'm laughing up my elbows. It's got a hole in the elbow. Look, I got a pretty good stomach, even a pretty good liver. But I can understand why God vomits at the end time. Because there's no way you can get across to people who positively ought to know better, or God could not be just in his judgments. Okay? God does not use idiots, he absolves idiots. Children are born mentally infirm, or people who are mentally infirm. Why do you think God had a priesthood? Couldn't even have a nick on him.
Amen.
He doesn't raise up men that are stupid,
right.
Flim-flammy, wishy-washy. Doesn't do that. Raises up men of character, strong minds, then he breaks their minds. Doesn't make them go insane. They get a little neurotic before the people, but not with God. They're not neurotic. Don't worry. Highly inspired people just look neurotic and seem to be. They're not neurotic. Just highly inspired. Everybody wants a grub hoe out here. Forget the grub hoe. You know? All right. He took Moses, put him on the scene. People don't want that, but there's a man for every juncture. There's got to be a man because it follows true to the type. See? Moses, in his absolute failure, had gone to the wilderness. That's where Brother Branham spoke on perfect weakness and perfect strength. Now, the type here, there's a wonderful type we sure don't want to miss, see? God was bringing Israel, his people, out of a nation out of a nation. A nation out of a nation, a beautiful type of day, that God is calling his bride out of a church. Christian bride out of a Christian church. A bride church out of a church, which is called in the Bible, referred to, I've got several notes in Scripture in down the list tonight, is called the chosen, the elected, the remnant of the woman's seed. It was called the bride. You'll notice someplace Brother Branham does not use that term remnant. He uses the word remnant where a woman takes a piece of cloth and puts a pattern on it. That's the bride. The remnant is the foolish virgin. Now, he uses it two ways. Just don't stumble, just he's using it this way tonight. So remember, he uses it different ways, because a lot of Scripture has compound meanings and goes beyond that even. It was called the bride, what God by his foreknowledge ordained to be. That is, the bride came out of the church. See, the whole thing is the church. Now, that's another thing people don't understand. They think it's communism. Forget communism. That's politics. That's the state. This is church. And America's Revelation 13. See, the whole thing is a church, but God takes the people out of that church as a bride. He said he would and he did. Or he will do it. See how he did it. And the manner how he did it. Now he's referring to type and what he's going to do now. We want to look at this now as he brought out Israel. How he did it and the manner he did it. Now do you think people are going to pay attention to that? No way. They've been taught too many little Bible stories. Well, we know about Moses and the bulrushes. We know how he slew the Egyptian. We know how he ran to the desert. We know this. We know that. You are wonderful. Then sit and know this.
Amen.
That's a different story. Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just calling it the way it is. Because I have my troubles, too. Look, I'm human. Brought up in organization. Many years of it. See? And, well, it wasn't too many years in organization. I couldn't take it. And they couldn't take me. And it wasn't because I was spiritual. I was just rebellious. You think I'd couch out of those birds? Fap, I had a mind of my own. I was one of those guys who believed God could teach me too. I don't say he did. I don't say he did. Alright, when the time of the promised words to be fulfilled, God called Moses by foreign nation. He elected him the job, see? God always got the person on the mark at the time. Always got his messenger ready at the right time. Don't you doubt it. If there's going to be an exodus, there'll be a messenger, somebody to help us. Nothing fails with God. He said it, and he can't fail. If it fails, then God fails, because God is the Word. And they're talking about Logos now. Not just talking about printed page, talking about Logos. Now, God's not just printed page. God is the author's printed page. And when it begins to manifest, it's God manifesting. That's Logos. And you'll see it dovetails right with this. The event's coming right out. Remember, the events are valueless unless there's people there. See? Now he's dealing with the church and the bride within the church. God always sends a prophet. When the word had to be manifested of a prophet, God always sends a prophet to manifest that promise because the word of the Lord comes to him. Moses, foreordained for the purpose, was called to the job. No one else could do it. When God has called a person for a job, there's no one can take his place. Now that's a direct warning to every single preacher. He even had to go so far as to say, look, he said, if you're playing football, he said, you don't grab the ball and run. You try to run interference for the guy that carries the ball. He said, let the man carry the ball. He's supposed to carry the ball. Why, they wouldn't let Brother Branham carry the ball. They'd tromp all over him if they could do it. Throw roadblocks, everything else. They wouldn't throw roadblocks against the adversary. They'd throw roadblocks on him. Try to steal the ball, everything else. And the false anointed absolutely do steal the ball in a sense of the word. They really don't, but in a sense of the word. In other words, they catch the public's eye and fool the people. See? They take the attention off of God. Now, there's no one can take your place, your peculiarity. Now, that's true concerning every one of us in this building, but remember, I already talked to you and read you where Brother Branham said God suits that prophet for that hour. His style of living, his peculiarities, the pattern of which he sort of cut out of. See? How John the Baptist had this and that. I think he talks about this later on down the road, how he is. All right. How often I've wondered how I would be like to take Oral Roberts' place, how I'd like to take Billy Graham's place, someone like that. Like Billy Graham, go speak to an audience of people, call sinners to the altar, forget it, go home, not have to stand there and wrestle. I can't be Billy Graham. Neither can Billy Graham be me. I cannot be Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts cannot be me. Now, let's just go here to the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter a second, and it will show you this very clearly. This is in predestination. Now he said, verse 22, what if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured as much long suffering, the vessel of the wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto his glory. A prepared vessel with exactly the right characteristics and qualities and traits and manners, and air, the atmosphere about him. Exactly. See, that's why that most people never go spiritually deep to ever read beyond what the person seems to portray. And try to get down into why a person does a thing. Brother Branham always did. To understand what makes a person tick that way. As the old Indian said, I want to judge a man till I walk in his moccasins. Old Indians had more sense spiritually than most Christians ever have. Showing not too many Christians. You're each one of you set in God's economy just for its place. One fasts all the time, communes with God, while another casts out devils, while this one's fasting. And yet you'd find the fellow cast the devils, he's making a big to-do. So, hey, look at me, hallelujah, I stand alone here with God and watch my smoke, oh, am I great, hallelujah. Bring the money, boys, bring it by the bushel. I'll send you a golden nail to punch on the wall and hang your goodies on, an anointed purse. You talk about blasphemy. Brother Branham said, this person fasting and praying over there, and that fellow looks like he's doing it. The man fasting and praying is working, that fellow right there. The church ought to know those things. Brother Branham so beautifully said, if one member of the body does it, then the whole body's doing it. He stood there as a prophet doing these great things, and he said, that's bride doing it. What if my hand doesn't, isn't my body doing it?
Yeah.
I'm finger scratching my head. Who's doing it? And bring it down to the point, what life is doing it? If your life is doing it, you've got a problem. It's a Christ life of Christ, then you haven't got a problem. That's the way it should be, see? Now watch, he's talking about things here. But it's the whole body of Christ working together, unity. When we see these denomination barriers breaking up, that's what hurts my heart, see? Because that's the thing that separates us. We are one. There's no big people among us. No great people among us. We're all the same. We're true children of God. That's the secret of reality and true unity. Now, the denominations barred Brother Branham from being the prophet to the whole church world.
Yeah.
See? If they had accepted him, the barriers would have begun to be broken down. Then they could have had this unity that they're trying to bring about man-made. But they'll never come because they threw down the one source of unity.
Amen.
A God-ordained headship, a true vicarship. As Peter was the Holy Ghost of the Corinthians, so William Branham would be to this hour. People can't buy that. They hate it. I don't hate it. I like it. I'm glad we got something tangible. Bless God. What you're talking in tongues going to do and everything else, you've got proof of this. I could go down to witch's den, like Brother Branham said, and bring up manifestation, make your hair curl. The devil does a lot of things with the power of God. Brother Branham said, you can go to the witch doctor, believing it's God, and get healed. You man alive, where does that put everything? No wonder he kept saying, God send a prophet to wake the people up. If they didn't know a prophet was standing here, at least they'd get sensible to the fact there could be a prophet standing here. So let's pray for a prophet. Hallelujah. Maybe you did miss him. But at least now you got an understanding there could be a prophet.
Amen.
Ha, they say no way. Ah, just a light hit the camera. Who knows? Man's got a familiar spirit. Who knows? There's only one great one amongst us, and that's Christ. We must recognize him. How? By the God-ordained way in the Word. And when the word comes to pass, you know God's got to be there bringing to pass, because man can't bring it to pass. Man can talk that word and talk that word and talk that word, and there could not be the fulfilling of that word until the hour. Then God would have to fulfill it with his man and his way. Now this is what Brother Branham is pleading. That's what these messages, and we've got about six of them already strung in together. And it's the one story. Your faith is resting upon the vindicated prophet. The vindication is of God. The word is of God. And it's a departure from what you ever knew.
Right.
Little things aren't tricky when I say them. I say to one person, what comes to your mind the minute I say Lord Jesus Christ? I said, I'll tell you what it is. It's a man up there in mercy seat. That's right. No way. No, I'm sorry, that's not it at all. You got to go back to Paul. Who art thou, Lord? He said, the pillar of fire. I'm Jesus. Hold it, hold it, hold it. A pillar of fire? Well, that must have been the wrong thing that spoke to dear old Paul, because, you know, after all, Jesus is a man. Brother Branham called it the body. I told you that threw me for a loop. Not anymore, it doesn't. I go right with him. Because he's the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. That's the Jesus he's talking about in Hebrews 13 and 8. See? Now that obviates, you see, your Mark 16. And your Hebrews, and puts it where it belongs.
Amen.
See? That's when Brother Branham delivered the message, he went right back to healing again. And I tell you, I'm sorry for it. We've had men that were good healing ministries amongst us, in the sense they prayed for the sick. But they had to drop that and do something else. Now where's the people to do it? Will they be responsible for many people that should have help and aren't getting it? I don't know. But I know my ministry doesn't call for that particularly. The across-the-board statement is, Brother Branham said, all people do not pray for the sick. Not that I can't do it at odd times. I challenged you one time, he missed the boat. I said, the dying Christ prayed for a dying thief, and the man got saved. I'm a sick person. I'd pray for another sick person, you can get healed. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth was in agony many night after night with kidney stones, praying for the sick with miraculous results. Go home and sit in a tub of hot water. One day the stones passed. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Smarten up, children. Amen. The day is fast. Just about spent. Don't lay down these things God gives. I understood God makes them even greater.
God.
They're not diminished, they're augmented. Okay. There's only one great one amongst us. That's Christ. We must recognize Him. And if we, now watch this beautiful statement. And if we seek honor one from another, we can't have faith. Because we're having faith in one another. Alright, now let's put the whole thing together. There's only one great one amongst us, and that's Christ. We must recognize Him. And if we seek honor one another, play with William Branham, he plays back and forth, this ministry, that ministry, hallelujah, it all looks good. It says you've only got a faith in a man, not the one that's in the midst of you. Now, how many people end up having faith in God, which they should have had, but ended up having faith in William Branham? It made him what he wasn't. You know, he said, I've got to decrease, so the one amongst us must increase, the one coming must increase. And where is his increase?
Amen.
We said, well, I think, Brother Bale, that's going to be miracle signs and wonders. You blew it. The miracle signs and wonders, the vindication was to bring you to the Word. Now let the Word increase. That you may prosper and be in health, even your soul prospers. When every channel of the soul is filled up with the Word of Almighty God and the life released in the Word, then watch it come forth. We've let down a lot of things, brother, sister. That's the trouble. You have faith one another, then, he said. We've got to have faith in Christ. He's the one amongst us. Doesn't say in us. It's amongst. I'll be with you even in you. Compound meanings there. Then reverse it. I've been in you. I'm with you. In a special visitation. Call it dimension. Call it what you want. You can't get rid of that. 2,000 years ago it happened, didn't happen again.
Amen.
2,000 years before that one. Three times the entire history. And people don't know a juncture. They don't believe the prophet. I believe you believe the prophet. We believe together. He's the one amongst us that we have faith in. And then, faith in what He's doing and has given to us. Then what He is doing is not what He's given to you. Faith is what He is doing so He can give you the Word. See? I'm not overkilling on the prophet. Don't think for when the prophet spent 40% of his time at least talking what I'm talking about. If not 50 or 60% of it. In other words, getting your eyes open once and for all. Concerning your hour, the spiritual history, the personal advocacy of God, the personal intervention of God, the manifestation, everything lining with Scripture, truly authenticated. That's what we're looking at. So your faith does not hang in anything but the power of God. The word coming in demonstration. Before it came, there was a demonstration. No one could take Moses' place. No matter how much you run, how much you try to get away from it, yet God knows what he's doing. He knew just what he had to take and make out of Moses. Take out of him, put in, so on. These things had to happen. No one could take his place. Now watch. God gave him a sign to prove his calling and claims. When he went down to Egypt. Now see, that's what I told you. This preceded his message. Now God always gives a messenger a sign and a voice of that sign. So when you see a sign, you're hearing something. You hear with your eyes. In other words, it's understanding what it really boils down to. Not a visual thing, it's an understanding. And that sign identifies the man if it's written in Scripture. It's got to be written in Scripture. Like John said, I'm the voice of one crying witness. And they said, he's the Messiah. I said, I'm not the Messiah. But I am the one voice of one crying witness. As the prophet Isaiah said, he could plainly identify himself. Moses identified himself. Elijah identified himself. Elisha identified himself. Micah identified himself. Isaiah identified himself. Everybody identifies himself. But where were they written in the Bible? Not by name. Yet God turned right around and took a Gentile named Cyrus, and he called him Cyrus my shepherd. Because he was a great, he may have had a great nation. And he influenced Israel. See? People want to know about names. Fat. I'm not Messiah, I'm the voice of one crying with us, as the prophet Isaiah said. He could plainly identify himself. And now then in that we find that God always never changed his ways of doing anything. He cannot change. God does everything exactly the same way when he sets his system together. And as I said the other night, he made one decision. Man should be saved by blood of an innocent one. God's way of doing anything is spoken of in the Word. And this Word is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. And that lets you know that anything that God is going to bring before us into manifestation concerning the Word has to do with Jesus the Christ revealing Him. Now the point is, why would He revealing Him if He was already revealed? Why do you say, all right, there's only one reason. It must have been a mistaken revelation. Absolutely, you got it right in the head. That's what restoration is always about. Restoration means you restore something when it falls into a deteriorated position. When deterioration sets in, now you got to bring it back. How are you going to bring it back? You got to bring it back the way it came, which was a prophet. Anybody would know that. You always take the car back to the guy that invented it. He can't fix it. He didn't make it in the first place. Because you know the right part and the right way to put it in. God's way of doing anything is following His Word. And this Word is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. What about when it is? Then it better be rectified. Whatever it does. The Bible said His part will be taken out of the book, Lamb's Book of Life. If He does add or take anything from it, just take it the way it's written. The Bible doesn't need anybody to interpret it. God is His own interpreter. He interprets it by making what He said come to pass. That settles it. Now Elijah must truly come. There it was. Well, I can't take that. Well, fine. Miss it. I know that sounds awfully hard and callous. What am I supposed to do about it? Will I become Augustine a hippo? And get me a little mafia force around me, we'll cut people to the dead, bang them on the head, and pour it in. Beat the target, say, You'd be like Galileo. The Pope made him confess the waters, the word was square or something, wasn't around, he said, it's round anyway, he said. Come on. This language is so simple. Why wouldn't God interpret by bringing it past? What do you want? John the Baptist came on to say, what is this business? The voice of one crying on us. Make the straight path to the Lord. High things come down. Low things must. What is this all about? I'm the one. Man, you got sunstruck out there in the desert, boy. Really, just stated your old man's theology and been a priest, you'd have been arguing, now you're nutty in a fruitcake. Too many cactus with poison darts buried in you. You got a little bit foaming in the brain. Oh, no, I said no. God approved me right. God came on the scene proving right. What about this? So he interprets the word. He interpreted the word back there by bringing it to pass. He interprets the word now in the same way. You know, people got mad at Jesus because he identified himself. Well, oh, they're going, I'm a child of God, hallelujah. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I've done this and I've done that. And look at me, ain't I wonderful? No, you make me sick. You're not wonderful, you stink. Here's a man who comes on the scene literally blameless in quality. I told you, I'm telling you, my sister could not find any gift or guile or any deceit in his handwriting. Let's see yours and let's see mine. She's a pretty good graphologist. Old graphology doesn't lie. It works. Scientifically proven. Biggest stores in the world use it. Detective agencies, FBI, the whole bunch use graph analysis. They do what you want with it. Don't sit here pretending you know something about me because I know more than you know on this subject. I can name you a guy right now that took the handwriting the FBI did. I was with the IRS. Had to analyze because they thought he was into monkey business. And this message. Guileless. Stands right up before the people. Who's you? Why don't you go to the bar and find out? Run it through. What did Jesus say about John? Oh, he said, what did you go to see? He said, a prophet? More than a prophet. Yeah, I suppose you want to see a man dressed in soft raiment. They're in king palaces, kissing the babies and things like that. A man shaken by the wind, a little political boy that you could bandy with and talk him into a nice pension to sit down and shut up. That Herod could pay off. Or someone scare him so he'd recant. Oh, John wasn't perfect. He had a perfect Savior, so it's all right. He died in good shape. Sure. He makes it come to pass. That's the interpretation. That settles it. Not with people, it doesn't. If God said it and he did it, that's all. They need no interpreter. The Bible said there was no private interpretation, God's way of doing it. Ever true to his sent sign. What sign? The prophet. A true sign overlooked. People overlook that sign. See, they forget their junctures. They forget why does God send a prophet? Because something must be made known that isn't known and must be made known. Shall the Lord do anything before he tells his servants the prophets? No, because they got a blast of trumpet on it. Let people read their Bibles. It shows they've been blinded. The man said, here, read the book. He said, I can't. He said, I'm ignorant. His interpreter said, I don't know how. Oh, if they would all say that and wait for a prophet to come. I waited from the age of 22 for a prophet. Oh, it didn't bowl me over. How can you wait 22 years to about what? 42, in the sense of really understanding. I waited until I was actually 35, 13 solid years, and didn't know a prophet when I saw one. Well, I sort of did, but I didn't. Something like a person looking at a buffalo. What's that and what's it for? I could see the buffalo was strange from cattle and things, but I didn't maybe know enough about buffaloes. I could see a prophet was different, but I know about prophets, nothing. My idea was so far from the truth was pitiful. I didn't connect him with the grand word, the grand prophets of those ages. All right, ever true to his sent sign, he follows by his voice. The true sign, the prophet, God follows by a voice. Sets him on the scene, vindicates him, says, now talk. Right. And the example is Moses. Well, I'm not much of an orator. You don't have to be. I'll be with your mouth. So Moses caterwauled until he gave Aaron a shot at it. And then Aaron boo-booed. It was all right, though. Things worked out. God never makes a bad. He never makes a mistake. Now God never does anything. The Bible said to him, first he shows it to his servants, the prophets. Now if that's wrong, then the rest of it's wrong. That's the statement I wanted to bring your attention to. If that statement that God has to have a prophet on the scene to tell you, if that's wrong as the theologians say or disregard it, it's all wrong. Yes. See? If people try to argue some of the Bible's right and some of it's wrong, you tell me who's going to set that right. You talk about Mealy Mouse. Okay? Now, if that's wrong, the rest is wrong. See? He never does anything till he shows it. And that seer, prophet, is to be identified. See? Okay. He says now here, that's what he prophesied. We find out in Numbers 12 and 6. Let's go to Numbers 12 and 6. I can't quote these off like Brother Branham did. I should, I guess, by now, but... Okay? 12 and 6. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Prophet! Come right and tell the dream, tell the vision. Right, 100%. Listen to that man. But he said, Moses, my servant, is not so. I don't come in dreams. I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. In other words, in view, in a shape. What was the shape? Pillar of fire in a bush. Caught the picture. Go on down, Moses. Say, thus saith the Lord. Watch it come to pass. That vindicates it. Go down, William Branham. Witnesses saw that little light come over your crib when you're born. You've seen visions. They never failed. Little tiny baby. All of your visions right. Now face to face. Go down. Thus saith the Lord. Deuteronomy 18. And God's got to talk. Look at those signs drifting in. There's a sign to begin with. And he saw his sign. Now another sign. And another sign. Sign vindicates the prophet. The prophet is a sign of God. The word coming out. Not some old message, but a dead message, but a new message. See? All right. We find in Numbers 12:16 that when he says it comes to pass, they believe it. That's really Deuteronomy 18 combined with 12:6. But if it doesn't come to pass, then don't believe it. That definitely is Deuteronomy. And it must be, no matter how much he says it, when it comes to pass, and whatever. If it isn't according to the word, then it's still wrong. Now that's a lot of people can prophesy and tell you all kinds of events. But no, thus saith the Lord. And they come off the word. See that man? That man has no guarantee he's going to keep you on the word. He can't do it. Isn't according to the word, it's still wrong. It must be with the word. It must be in order with the word for the sign of that time, the time we're living in. I know what they're referring to. Genesis 18, the Sodom and Gomorrah sign. He'll talk about it as he goes on. Now this has been promised by God that he was going to deliver his people with a strong arm. Now when this word, he didn't call him a priest, he called him a rabbi, didn't call a rabbi, he didn't call an executive. He called a shepherd out on the mountain, a runaway, born ordained prophet that didn't want his job. When you hear people desiring to be this, that, or the other, just watch. Now you watch that. In your life and anybody else's life. Now, you can't put two and two together. You just don't belong even here tonight. You're 10 years behind the program. I'm not even going to talk about it. But you ought to know what I'm talking about by now. See? People desire this or that or the other. Just watch. God never uses them. They just get annoyed. That's the truth of the matter is. God had to hunt Moses down to get him. Had to hunt Paul down to get him. It's men that don't want to do it. Now the fivefold ministry never want to do it. When I had the barest inkling in my mind that God just may want me to preach, I made my little contract up and I hid it in the bottom of the watch box. Remember they gave me a watch for my birthday, wristwatch. And I wrote in there and said, now Lord, listen to me. I'll be a deacon or an elder in the church. I'll do lots of things for you or serve you where you want me to serve, but I will not be a preacher. Okay? Sign my name. And I meant it too. And I fought that thing and I fought it. I fought it just like I went through, almost like I went through last year. And the day I said, okay, Lord, I'll go, I was still in frustrations and anger, and yet the committal brought me a certain peace. And that should have kept me in the days when I prayed the food and the table, only knowing at that time the greatest privilege God ever accorded anybody was to believe him and let him do something for you. But I didn't know it, and I quit preaching. And I had to come back and say, Lord, no quitting this time, and we'll prove the things we couldn't prove before, wouldn't listen. And I'll tell you, I'm old enough to retire according to what the world says, but I haven't retired yet. I'm flat tired, that's for sure, and I'm flat tired. J-R-E-D. I mean that. But there's no quitting. I ran away? Sure ran away. Sure I did. I admit it. They don't want the thing. Then God takes that man that won't do it so he can show his glory by it. Now, I'm not going to talk about that because I don't get any glory in this, what I've done or not. But that's what the prophet said. It's his life, not mine. Now watch. Every true God-sent sign is followed by a voice. Now, see, to be God-sent, it has to be the prophet with the prophetic word. See, and that word will jive right with this book, because the spirit of the prophet that brings the word is God, and God doesn't change. Now, God can get into you and me, and God forbid, but God would do it if he wanted to. He could get into a tyrant, and that word would jive every single time. I'm talking now how the word comes forth. And how it begun. Of course, he doesn't do that. That's just a far-fetched illustration. All right. Now watch. Every true God-sent sign is followed by voice. Now watch here. The text is the sign and the voice. If they won't believe the voice of the first sign, they'll believe the voice of the second sign. Now the sign has a voice. Now every God-sent sign has a voice. And that voice must speak according to the word that's given for that day just exactly. If the voice comes the same old voice of the same old teaching, he left the word out. You see a sign rather, and the sign that the man's doing is the same old school of thought, then you can say right then that didn't come from God. If it keeps identifying the same old school of thought, it never did. It never has. It would be against God's program. It's got to be something new. It's got to be something that the people don't understand, or it wouldn't be sent. It doesn't need to be sent if it's the same old school of theology. Now you tell that to the theologians and to the denomination. They're not going to buy it. That's why I keep on saying the hardest thing you and I can do, the toughest thing we can do, is let our own thinking go. And that's what the prophet said, let your own thinking go. And we thought, oh, we see now, we're like the lady who said, Pastor, I had a tremendous thought today. It just set me on cloud nine. What was it, my dear sister? She said, the Bible said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I've been trying all day long not to think, and it's been glorious. The prophet never said that. It means get rid of your thoughts on any subject he presents to you, because your thoughts on the subject are wrong, or he wouldn't be presenting it. How many kids go to school and they learn 2 and 2 are 4, and next thing you see, 2 and 2 are 4. And for the next 10 years, you'll learn 2 and 2 are 4. And maybe go to remedial class, where you thought 2 and 2 are 5, now you learn 2 and 2 are 4. Or do you keep the rest of your life? No, you know it. Where you make a mistake, the prophet corrects, that's restoration. Now we're going to go on to perfection. What's perfection? It's all over. Finished. And men dare to rise and say, that which is perfect hasn't come. What in the world's the matter with people? Say you believe a prophet? Come on, that? Come on! I'm not fooling tonight. Let's get serious about this. Either the prophet had God and God had the prophet, or something messed up here.
Amen. That's right.
And if you've got that ironed out, then you've got an infallible source. And when he leaves the scene, then you've got everything to put you in a rapture. That's exactly what he said came under the seven seals. And people argue back and forth. Lord, give me this. Lord, you know what you ought to say? Give me a kick in my spiritual pants. Right in my stupid brain. Don't just dream to circumcise your heart, circumcise your mind. Your heart never got loused up. It always was loused up, but your mind got loused up. Repentance is, listen, the spirit of repentance, brother, said the spirit is part of the mind. You want some action in your life? You've got to get your mind lined up. Greatest battle ever fought proves that. See? Alright, it's got to be something different, yet it's got to be identified in the Word that it is for that day. See, the positives of God's Word. In other words, it doesn't depart from the Word, it lines the Word. You know, in the church age of Luther was off. He was on for his day, for his little niche. For the allotment. But he had just barely crawled out. And was in danger of dying, and he went back to organization. That is, the people that followed him. Wesley got a step further. Pentecost was gung-ho. They crumbled. You try to organize us. You get little clicks here and there, but there's no way to organize. Look, I think different from any man living in this message. Not that we don't think alike in the broad spectrum, but each one has little differences of expression. I'm always asked questions by different people and say, what about this and that? Well, if it's not something you're just trying to drum up, I'm happy to talk with you. If it's some little thing that is kind of inconsequential, I'm not too happy. Because that's just kind of, you know, pittering around the edges. Because little thoughts here and there that I don't know because I haven't heard what the prophet said and I wouldn't know just where it's going. So there could be little differences. So I don't mind those differences. Do what you want with them. We go a certain way and I'll tell anybody how to do a certain thing. I'll talk with the person, but that's the end of it. It has to be that. There's no slip-ups to it. It's got to be the truth. Got to be vindicated by God, the truth. See, vindicated by God. That's a different story. The man who speaks, it has to be vindicated to God. He's vindicated before he speaks it. And the constant vindication of Brother Branham's ministry showed he was in tune with the vindicator, and the word was interpreted correctly to us by him. So my. Signs before the word, signs during the word, and signs afterward. Put them in their place. You've got to be three. God does everything in threes, doesn't he? So let's just take a look at it. And a man who spoke, speaks that be vindicated to God. To be a seer from God or it's wrong. Signs from God. The voice that follows the sign must be the voice of God speaking for the word for that, from the word for that age. Sure, Moses' message wasn't taken from Noah, and Jesus' message wasn't taken from Moses. And Paul went on with the complete revelation to Jesus Christ. Then John came behind and showed the intact. Now Brother Branham says so beautifully, just think, he said, how wonderful, the saints, the pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. Now let's study this thoroughly. See, the signs are given to attract the attention of the people. Yeah, they haven't been talked to yet. Sign. Because when a God-sent sign is given, God is ready to speak. God is ready to speak when the sign is given. See a prophet? Vindicated to be a prophet? Hey, what do you got to tell us? Oh, do us great, good, great rabbi. Oh, we don't stone you for the good things done. We just stone you to open your mouth. You know, like what you said. Because you don't agree with it. And we're going to tell God. I understand by Josephus, I think, I'm not sure, but the Sanhedrin got so puffed up, they said when God got in difficulty, they called on him. Now, you know God never called on that bunch of rascals. Amen. So when you got that attitude, anything can slip in. And believe me, I'm going to tell you something, it sure wasn't God slipping in. No, that's what they say. All right, signs from God. The voice that follows the sign must be the voice of God speaking from the word for that age. Do you understand it? God gives signs. What does he do it for? Always gives signs. See? God gives signs to attract the attention of the people. Now let's study this thoroughly. See, the signs are given to attract the attention of people. Because when a God-sent sign is given, God is ready to speak. God is ready to speak when the sign is given. If it comes from heaven, it's from God, and God is ready to speak and is trying to attract the people's attention. And the word comes to the prophet. His prophet. And the prophet is identified by the sign that he shows. What's that? That's Deuteronomy 18. And then he comes to the Word, and the Word's made manifest. That's said of it. It doesn't need interpretation. God's already interpreted. See? Just as perfect as it can be. Now notice, God gives a sign to attract the attention of the people. Notice repetition. Why? Because he wants to talk to them. Here the burning bush was the sign to attract the prophet. The burning bush. Moses was on the backside of the desert herding his sheep. An old sheep herder, 80 years old, long beard, going along. Down alongside of an old familiar path, one hot morning perhaps, and all at once there came a bush of fire, And that bush did not consume. That was altogether unusual. Now, Moses being a scientist, which he was taught in all the wisdom of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and they were greater scientists than we have today, so in being a scientist, looked like he'd have said, now, I'll just go see what kind of a chemical is sprayed on those leaves that the tree doesn't burn. And you can get chemicals to spray on leaves and leaves won't burn. Oh, it's intense enough fire, anything to burn, but normally speaking. See, if he'd approached it in the scientific way, it would never have talked to him. And so it is today. When we're trying to approach through school and education in a scientific way, you'll miss God a million miles. Approach it like Moses with his shoes off. See, in humility, signifies humility. Now, there was a sign to attract the prophet. Now you see, the sign to attract the prophet. Now that sign's got to have a voice. I saw a burning bush. So what? Or the bush shot. That's different. See, we're going to get something out of that then. Now the voice got to have a sign. And when the voice spoke, it would not have been scripture. If it would not have been scriptural, I don't believe the prophet would have listened to it. That's true, because you see, he's got something inside him already. He doesn't become a prophet because the voice talks to him. He already is a prophet. Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you before you were formed in the womb even. He's already lined up. Now, when the voice spoke, if it would not have been scriptural, I don't believe the prophet would listen to it. But watch how scriptural the voice was that accompanied the sign. It proved it was God. For he said, I have heard the groans of my people, and I remember the promise I made him. Now somebody say, well, just a minute now. Ha! The devil could do that too. The devil could do it. No doubt about it. But he didn't. He was stopped. The devil can do certain things to imitate God, and other things he can't.
Amen.
For where would God be? Listen, it's just so simple. People say, well, it should be this. Well, it could be this. It could be, but it isn't. I could be at home sitting in a chair, but I'm not. So to speak. I've got to break you down so you see this. I'm here, and you're here. Do you see the simplicity? That mind wants to come in every time. Well, it could be. Oh, shut up! Break yourself down. Don't get rid of your thinking. Just get rid of your cussedness. And then you happen to get rid of mine. Come, let me tell you something. We prove right at this minute, and we believe this message. Our own souls tell us we are stubborn and rebellious people. We stink in the nostrils of God. Except for sheer grace in this hour. Because you would go and I would go just the way I'm talking tonight with these little jabs in it. Never mind what about it. It's scripture. See, the mind of man simply is nowhere with God. But you give the mind of God a chance with your mind and watch where it goes. You'd be as neurotic as the prophet. In other words, just as far out. Well, I'm going to tell you, we better be as far out or we're not going to get as far in as he is. And I want to get in where he is. I've been thinking about it recently with good thoughts. I don't know, it's just like he's kind of present. Maybe the resurrection's coming on, I wouldn't know. I don't think about that because I've got no reason to think about it, except I wish it were. You know how it is. Okay. All right. The study of 30. See, signs are given, tracked into people, because when a God given sign is given, God's ready to speak when the sign is given. All right. And the word comes to this prophet, his prophet, and the prophet is identified by the sign that he shows. That's right. Deuteronomy 18. And then he comes to the word, and the word's made manifest. That settles it. Doesn't need interpretation. God always interprets it. See, just as can be, now notice. God gives a sign to attract the people. Now, the sign to attract the attention of people is Deuteronomy 18. Plus the miracles, the working of the power, like Paul had. Now, that's enough. But you know what? People have their own understanding of Paul. They say, well, that's it. That took care of it. We've got the Bible. Hallelujah. Yeah, but I don't know those guys got the right answers out of the Bible. Because I can read that Bible 14 different ways from 14 different interpreters. And then 4,000 more ways from 4,000 other guys who think they got the right answer. And pretty soon they got to pool their resources. And when they do, they're organized. Denomination, they got it. Because, you know, see, Bill needs John and George needs Harry. And Harry needs the lady theologian, Elvina. And Elvina, she's a great scholar. God interpreted. All right, here the burning bush was assigned to attract the prophet. The burning bush, Moses in the backside desert, and so on. Moses being a scientist. Right down the line, okay? Now that I've shown you, here he said, now I've shown you the background, it must be, I've shown you the background, it's just, it has, now that I've shown you, now that shows exactly what I've just, background, it must be a sign from God. And if it is, there's a scripture voice behind it for the promise of that day, not the same old school. The rabbis and things have been going through the schools, everything all along, the priests and so forth, but this is something new, and it's scriptural. It is a promise and a sign to attract the people, okay? The prophet is a sign, his ministry is a sign, the word is a sign, it interprets the word of the hour, and people say, hey, I don't understand that, I don't believe it, I got something else. That makes you know that he's right, because it's got to be new. Why would God send a prophet if he already knew what they're supposed to know? Then he said, now if he goes, if before he goes down there, he's got to have something to vindicate him, see? Before he goes down to Egypt, he's got to have some vindication, being a prophet, see? Before they'd receive him. They said, he said, Moses said, they won't say the Lord has appeared to me. They'll say, opposite, see, the Lord has not appeared to you. You just got carried away. You're neurotic. He said, I'll give you two signs to do, and that will attract the people's attention. And when the attention of people is attracted, then speak these words to them. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I remember my promise. I've sent you down to deliver them. I'll be with you. Now, remember, Brother Branham had a sign, and he had two signs, and the first sign was absolutely run with, like Janice and Tamar. Okay, do you notice his first sign? He had all kinds of impersonations of it. Everybody tried to throw down a serpent. If that ain't the run of people, then I don't know what is. Now, that's the sign right there in the Word of God from Titus. And Matthew 25. 24, beg your pardon. 24:25. False anointed. They'll run with it. They'll grab it and run with it, see? You see? Now, if that ain't the run of people, then I don't know what is, see? But what kind of a voice did they have behind it? Nothing. The Egyptian voice of the world. Yet they could perform the sign, but they didn't have a voice behind it to back it up. Now you see, that is where he had his problem, William Branham did. Because he denied what they were teaching was the truth. His message on the rapture proves that. He let the people know if their revelation was previous to his, it had to be wrong. And if they didn't fall in line with his revelation, they were wrong. See? Oh my, listen, that rapture revelation, it's nothing what we believe. It's nothing what we believe. We believe 100% wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. My own opinion is this, that those people who don't understand what we're preaching from this church and other brethren like us, they are not understanding the appearing. Now listen, he was to appear. Amen. To appear means to come in view. And that word appear can have different understandings about it. Like apocalypse, it means to be unveiled. Phanerol means to come and be seen in his true character. See? Persia means he's there. You don't know how he got there, but he's there. The big thing, the fact that he's there. See? The Epiphany is the light. Revelation. All of that's happening now, and it carries on to be fully expended in him. When the light becomes fresh again. Oh my, listen, look, I'm not fighting with anybody. They can do what they want. We just preach what we preach here and believe what we believe here, and you know, that's all there is to it. We're not going to fool with it. See? Let people go with the first sign. That's all right. That's good. That's not good enough. Everybody tried to throw down a sermon. Yet they could perform the sign, but they didn't have the voice behind it to back it up. Moses had thus saith the Lord. That was the difference. I want these people to give me thus saith the Lord. They can't do it. The prophet had thus saith the Lord, and he said it. I'd like just somebody to tell me, what do you mean? He says justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost gave, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. Tell me what it means. You show me where God spread himself so thin there's nothing that God left. And I'll show you where a man who could, like this dirty bird up there amongst the Eskimos, and you know their culture, how they allow promiscuous conduct. 300 children by different women up there. You show me where that man was diminished, or the 300 children of that man. Or the 300 children ought to just take that old boy and horse with him. God in you is not God with you. Because God with you won't do you one bit of good. Unless there's God in you. You better have God in you, baptize the Holy Ghost, but that gives way to the Holy Ghost himself, Brother Man said. He said, headship's return. I'd like those things explained. Maybe I'm wrong. And I don't know the meaning of language. Same old tired voice these people have. You know the Bible said that would take place again in the last days? What? This very thing. The sign. The same old voice. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so would men of reprobate mind. Don't worry, I only got 20 pages of that here. Concerning the truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. See, reprobate minds concerning the truth. That means he's telling you right there. They're reprobate concerning Jesus the Christ. Let me show you something. 2 Peter. But there were false prophets among the people. That's 2 Peter 2 and 1 and 2. Even there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word doesn't mean deny them as though they didn't say he's there existing. They say no to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. No, get out of here. The church. People have been saying no to God all along. They've been saying no through the ages. Now he stands at the door. The mighty one came down. Brother Branham categorically said, I don't know what he said. Revelation 1 and 12, Revelation 5 and 1, Revelation 10 and 1 was the same thing. He came down. Amen. What's down? Who cares what down is? I'm sick and tired of bandying words. Call it a dimension. Then he came in the dimension. Then let's get in the dimension where he is.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. He came to our dimension. It's always God condescending. You bend over backwards to please people, what happens? Forget it. You lose everything you got. Accommodate the Lord Jesus Christ. Never mind, man. Be nice, be sweet, be kind, love. We all need our baptism of love. You only get a baptism of love under fire. Under criticism. Under rough going and rough sledding. The proof of love is not theorizing, it's performing. So just keep on the mark. He's the truth. Now Jehovah is going to speak by his promised word. Now Jehovah is going to speak by his promised word. You know that prophet is a promised word? The Lord has sent Elijah. And he's going to speak the promised word by the promised word. He who is the promised word will speak by the promised word, the promised word. I'm not Philadelphia lawyer, it's the truth. The Logos himself, who promised the prophet, living word of God manifested, we'll bring that word for this hour. Here he is in trees again. He must then get his prophet ready to send down. Because it's always in this line of thinking. His line of thinking of doing every time. And send his prophet with the word. And vindicate the prophet. Again, this is a promised sign. The prophet himself is a sign. True sign overlooked. Brother Branham wasn't pleading with people, look at me, look at me, look at me. But you had to look at him to see what he was looking at.
Yes. Amen.
The prophet was a reflector. How do you catch a light unless you're looking at the reflector? If you don't identify him, where's your faith? See? They got him right back where Jesus was. Oh, he was a good man, but, you know, fap, he blew it, you know. That's your intelligentsia every time. That's your ecclesiastical dictionaries. When you see, now, take the history of the Bible, study it. Whenever you've seen a long lapse of time, and when you've seen a prophet appear on the scene, it's a sign of judgment. Now watch what he's doing. He's warning. Every time a prophet comes, get this flat. Judgment. Sorry about that, but that's the truth. God was going to judge the world, or the nation, or the people, when you saw a prophet coming. I preached a sermon on that. Remember the tape? A true sign overlooked. They always overlook it. They always have, but it was a sign of coming judgment. Now his word is fulfilling his voice. What he promises, then he fulfills his word by the voice. The coming of a prophet is a warning sign that judgment is at hand, always has been. Let me just quote one. Look at Noah. Let's illustrate. Rise up in the last day, in the days of the unbelieving world. A prophet prophesying. What was it? Judgment struck immediately after. That's after Noah, who was a prophet, judgment came. Moses went to Egypt, a vindicated prophet with the signs of a prophet. What happened? Judgment struck Egypt right after. What? Spiritual death and physical. Elijah comes on the scene, a prophet. Prophesied to Ahab in that nation. What happened? Judgment struck her afterwards. Right. John the Baptist come on as the sign. He was a prophet. He was a prophet sign. Come on the earth. They knew when he came on, they knew that when he came on, the Messiah would speak after him. That's right. They knew that. It had to be to get the elected. Still the same thing. What this was for is to get the elected people that's coming out like in the days of Noah. See, John the Baptist turned the heart of the Father's children. And that this John the Baptist turned the heart of the children back to the Father. Brother Branham brings it out here too. We'll get to it later. Like in the days of Elijah, the 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to call them out. John calling out the elected to give it over to Christ when he came. Swapped his church. Said, I must decrease, he must increase, because I'm just a voice of him crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus came the same way. Get the elected ready to hear the voice of God. That's what the prophetic sign is. See, do and teach. Oh, if you follow these messages, get the elected ready. The others will never hear it. You say, Brother Bale, I listen and I believe everything you're saying. I believe everything the prophet said, and I don't know what it's doing for me. It's doing something. Just sit and listen.
Amen.
You're just getting previous. You've had so many wrong vitamins with no power for so many years. It'll take a while to get saturated, and those vitamins start to go to work. And then maybe you're not too good at assimilating. Maybe you need a real catharsis to clean you out, too. You haven't taken on the spiritual health regimen. Cleared your mind out. Say, am I reading this in the old way, or do I'm getting it the way he said it? So you can't interpret the prophet. You believe the prophet.
Amen. Yeah.
People try to say I'm interpreting. That's a lie. I just believe what I understand him to say. I can't understand the Pentecostal way. No, he's here, period. That was the perfect has come. The perfect revelation of the hour. Took a prophet, vindicated. God on the scene, him increasing, he increasing. That's the way we got it going. My books, anybody can do what they want. Or if you follow these messages, get the elected ready. The others will never hear it. It's the elected that's called. Where did that angel come to in Sodom that did that sign? To Abraham and his group. Stay away from Sodom. It's going to burn. Jesus promised it to repeat. You know it. Again, at this is Sodom. At this Sodom. It's going to repeat at this Sodom. Now notice, what does it do? It gets the elected ready for the shelter of God, like in Noah's time, so forth. What does it do? It condemns the intellectual believer to judgment. It always has. Just burn mercy, nothing left but judgment. That's Bible. So it gets the intellectual and the unbeliever ready for the judgment, because what do? They condemn it. What about the elected? They get taken away. Like I said the other day, Abraham said, will you destroy the righteous and wicked for 50 years? He said, not for 50, not for one, Abraham, not for one. The righteous never get destroyed to the wicked. Man alive, that's Abraham, he was in a bit of a tizzy, you see. He's worried about what happened down below, I guess. Now, so it gets the intellectual and the unbeliever ready for the judgment. Because what do? They condemn it. That's the reason the Jews ate their own flesh. That's under Titus, 70 AD. That's the reason the blood ran out of the city when Titus, the great Roman general, rode in there. It's because they had rejected the Holy Spirit. Judgment had to come because they made fun of it. Jesus told them when they called him Beelzebub, he said, I forgive you. The atonement has not been made. But said when the Holy Ghost has come to do the same thing, to speak against it, will never be forgiven. And that generation was never forgiven for it. That's right, judgment to the unbeliever. What about this generation? It's put out there for that purpose, to give light to the believer and darkness to the unbeliever. So if there's a bit of darkness, just keep dispelling it by coming on. But don't give way to anybody. If you want to fuss, say, well, thanks, nice meeting, go down the road. If you want to argue, argue the fence post. I'll sit and give you a reason of my hope, and you tell me yours, that's fine, then goodbye.